You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Let's get to your Beltway Blitz.
The Redskins.
Chris Russell is an insider when it comes to the Washington Redskins and a man who's been slashed already today.
You got slashed.
Reenie, what's going on? Why don't you have your car keys?
Trying to find my car keys to get to the bus or the metro to get to the bus to get to New York. Yes, I'm an absolute lunatic. And if it could happen to me, it's going to happen to me, boys.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. John Candy, so good in that movie, by the way.
Grant, do you want to drive me up to New York?
I'd be honored. Yeah, me, you, and Dan Patrick. Three amigos.
Three best friends that anyone can have.
I see you're ruffling some feathers, huh?
I was just over here living my life, so I was just going to live my life.
Well, Russell, let's address the thing that started this whole kerfuffle, if I may. The idea that Redskins receivers and an adequate group of underperforming Jags that are lucky to be in the NFL, let alone starters on an offense.
Tell them how you really feel.
Yeah, Josh. It's just my humble opinion. So apparently, let's take A, at face value. Let's say they don't like Kirk Cousins. Yeah. B, sort of digest that report or that musing, whatever you want to call that.
Right.
Where are you at on this?
Yeah, I don't care if they don't like him. I do care about, I guess, and maybe Dan kind of re-clarified this based on what I heard. I thought a clip on your show this morning. Maybe I misheard it. And I know somebody that was on Chad's show from Yahoo said, that they don't trust him and that they don't respect him. I care
can
more
I ask
about
this, though, about the Chad thing. And maybe we can get Chad on the show later today.
Right.
Was that guy referencing Dan Patrick's show or was this
apparently
his own report?
Apparently not, because that was my first question. But apparently Ashu said that he said this on Tuesday on Chad's show.
Yes, but
Dan
Patrick's comments were on Tuesday morning, and this guy was on Chad's show Tuesday afternoon.
So maybe that's it, because I thought we didn't get the audio from Patrick's show until Wednesday. Whatever. Listen, I don't put we've been around for a number of these things, okay? Everybody starts running around with their heads cut off at this time of the year when the team stinks and they're not playing for essentially anything. I don't put a lot of stock in it. What I would be very disappointed about is if they didn't trust him, if they didn't respect him, if they thought he was intentionally trying to get them hurt. Whoever is saying this, whether it's last year's guys, this year's guys, a combination, whoever is saying this, for whatever reason, they should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, Russell, let's get to the game this weekend. Tough matchup here. This San Diego, damn it, I did it. This Rams.
Yeah.
This, I was calling the Rams, too. For God's sakes, the Los Angeles Chargers, who play in a stupid soccer stadium, they should never have been in L.A.
Who coaches the Giants?
It's not Ben McAdoo anymore.
I almost got you.
So they've got two pass rushers that are excellent, combined 20 sacks between Ingram and Bosa, and Casey Hayward is great. How does this offense have some success?
Yeah, I mean, they can run the ball a little bit against these guys. I mean, especially when Bosa and Ingram get up the field, and if Trent and Moses, assuming that they're both playing, can ride them out a little bit, maybe you can hit them with a little counter draw, a little inside zone, that type of thing. I think you can run the ball against this team. That's number one. Number two, I think the other way that you try and, I guess, counter a good pass rush, and I want to see more of it, even though they lead the NFL in yards per attempt on screens. That doesn't mean natural running back screens. I want to see more designed first and second down screens, not the third down stuff, because Kirk was just getting ambushed in Dallas last Thursday night. I want to see it more by design to counter and go over the top of those edge pass rushers.
Reenie, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk some hoops.
The Wizard.
Nick Ashew. Not only here at 106.7 The Fan does he talk a lot about basketball with Chris Russell at night, but you also see some of his work over at NBCSportsWashington.com. This is a true story, by the way. I was talking to someone who had come to our offices. They were here, and they said to me there was a really good-looking guy in the kitchen, and we had like this guessing game as to who it could be, what he was wearing, what he looked like. Turned out to be Nick Ashew.
Who would have thought?
Not a joke.
You are making this up.
I'm dead serious.
This is made up.
I can't give you any more details on the radio out of, you know, just the condition of anonymity, but I could text you exactly who the person is. They may or may not work in the building. Huh? Anybody? Anybody?
All right. Anybody? All right. Okay.
Nick, Wizards, Brad Beal. He's going off.
Yeah, he is, and this is what the Wizards need to do right now. I mean, look, without John Wall, he's the guy that takes over the games for the team. I mean, he struggled early on. He had the, you know, with dealing with the goggles, and it's always funny. I was talking about this last week on the show where it's like you see these guys when they're dealing with the goggles, whatever shape that they're in, it's that they don't like them, and it takes time for players to adjust with them, or they just don't wear them anymore, whatever it is. But, I mean, he's taking over games now, and this is exactly what they need from him because – look, as great as John Wall is, this team is certainly better with John Wall, but Bradley Beal is the guy that has to be their go-to scorer, the guy that you put the ball in his hands and you say, take over this game. That's not who John Wall is. It's not who he wants to be either. So as he evolves, as Bradley Beal grows as a player, we're really starting to see that now, and we're starting to see more confidence too. I mean, look, he didn't shoot well from three last night against Phoenix, but still scored 34 and they won it. That's ultimately what matters.
Yeah, be selfish, Bradley. That would be my message to him. Locker room, post game, in game, whatever the heck else, put up shots. Speaking of shots, Otto Porter's in a bit of a scuffle here of late. What have you seen from his game? Looks, I don't want to say passive, because he's always found the way to help the team win, even if he's not shooting well, Nick, but what's going on there offensively?
I mean, he only took 9 shots, and that's sort of that's the situation with Otto Porter that we've always had, though, where you look at him as a guy that you hope could do a little bit more than he really does. There are times where you almost do see that passiveness from him. I see a guy that's just not shooting the ball well, and look, I mean, we do this a lot. It's a long season. It's 82 games, and we go through 3 or 4 games or, you know, a short stretch with a player, and you worry what's wrong with him. Sometimes it's just a shooting slump. I mean, he was 2-9 against Phoenix, 1-8 against Portland. But again, when you have Bradley Beal going off for 51 against Portland, I mean, it's hard for anybody else to get into a rhythm when one guy's taking over a game like that. I wouldn't worry. Otto Porter has still been good this year. He's still a really good shooter for this team. He's still somebody that I'm sure will get his shot back. And on top of that, too, once you add Wall back to this lineup, Porter goes back to more of the role that he's accustomed to, being the third guy, does all the different things that he needs to do for this team. And I think he'll be more comfortable with that, too.
Nick, right now, when's the last time you shaved that beard?
Yesterday.
Really?
See, I was nice and clean to come in and do the show with Russell yesterday, so I was clean shaven. But I didn't see you guys there because you guys were skedaddled out of there before I got in, so I was never able to prove it to you.
Confirm or deny, you don't actually shave. You just close your eyes and focus a little bit, and the hair runs away embarrassed.
No, I wake up like that. That's just how it goes.
Wow.
Everybody knows that.
God.
Magic. Everyone knows that.
Magic.
Thank you. I mean, this is the best-looking Beltway Blitz ever because we're going from Nick Ashew to
Uncle Rob
Carlin.
Capitals.
Caps have won 6 of 7, 12 of their last 17. Had a big one tonight. The Rangers have also won 6 of 7. Rob, this is going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, it should be a really good matchup. Two teams that are on fire right now. Two teams that have obviously a lot of history together. And it's an important game because, you know, we haven't seen much of the Metro Division this year, and it's so bunched up, and every point is going to be so important. So it's not only the Caps need, quote-unquote, need to get a win, but they really need to do it in regulation because you want to steal as many points as possible. You don't want overtime where you're splitting points. You really need to create some separation. So, yeah, for where we are in early December, it's a pretty big game.
Rob, what's hotter, the Capitals or your toe during a gout flare-up?
Nothing is hotter than my toe during a gout flare-up. However, the Caps are pretty hot right now, and it's fun. The crazy thing about how this season has developed is, as I've talked to Barry Trotz and a couple of the players, they all expected this way more than we did. They knew there was a plan that we're going to withstand. Now, there wasn't a plan for a Burakovsky injury and a Niskanen injury, but they knew in their heads we're going to experiment for the first month. We're going to see what this team is. We knew that was a possibility, but fans can't accept it. The players and people in the organization accepted it. Maybe a little bumpier than they thought, but they have righted the ship now, and they're playing great hockey.
Yeah, 35 points. They're doing really well. Rob, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys.
I'll see you tonight. There's Rob Carlin on your Beltway Blitz. NBC Sports Washington, by the way, Caps face-off. I'll be on at 6 p.m. ahead of the 7 o'clock drop of the puck. Caps overtime, 30 minutes after the game tonight. I'll be hanging out with you.
With Uncle Robin, who else? Do we know?
Rob and Alan are on after us.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So it's me, it'll be Courtney Lachlan, and tonight I believe Brent Johnson on Caps Faceoff.
Ooh, Brent the goalie.
It'll be a good time. Old Johnny Goalie. Grant and Danny on the Fan. A lot of Redskins Chargers notes to get through that we haven't hit on yet, including some audio leading up to the game. We also got a preview all the Week 14 games around the league. Football Friday, we'll kick it off next. Several Saints, matter of fact, had to be helped off the field as the night went along, and that's typically the case. We'll get into that in a minute. Saints very upset about the short week and Thursday night because they couldn't keep their roster healthy. But one of the big stories to emerge from a Falcons win over the Saints, great game, was that Sean Payton, with about 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, was seen on the sideline putting his hand around his neck, mimicking the choke sign while yelling choke towards some of the Falcons. Did you see this during the game at all?
So I did. I was actually at a buddy's place, and we were watching without a ton of sound. So I couldn't really get the explanation until it was kind of too late. I read about it
but
after
effect. But look at this here.
Effect.
I mean, this is pretty obvious what he's doing.
Yeah, so he even says choke. You can read his lips pretty easily.
He's yelling it.
He's talking to Devontae Freeman there. I don't know the backstory. I don't know if there's a history with those guys.
Well, about the 28-3 choke job that the Falcons did that everyone makes fun of them for is the obvious thing everyone's guessing.
Well, certainly there's that. But Freeman, like, is leaving and then, like, kind of turns around and jaws at him. I mean,
right.
It's bizarre.
The Saints, by the way, went on to choke and lose the game, if you want to say that, because they were down 20-17, got into field goal range. Drew Brees threw just a killer, dagger, crippler of an interception.
I'd love to hear about how unclutch he is.
Can you imagine if Kirk Cousins threw that pick?
Yes, I can.
Oh,
yes,
man.
I can imagine.
When you are in field goal range, you're at the 10-yard line in the red zone, you throw a back-breaking pick, safety comes over, makes a great play. It's just unforgivable interception. Now, Brees, a Hall of Famer with a Super Bowl ring, he's not unclutch. He's not a loser, though. He just made a bad pass.
Did he win that game, though, Grant?
He did not. But Matt Ryan did win that game, though, even though he threw three picks last night.
So do you think it's important to analyze how a quarterback plays instead of just the win or loss?
Generally, yeah, I think that's important.
That's real interesting.
Devontae Freeman said about Sean Payton and the choke signal that it looked like he gave him.
I saw it. That man don't know nothing about choking. He ain't from where I'm from. He don't know about choking. He's a good competitor, so he probably the competes probably came out. But, you know, we don't let that bother me, man. He don't know nothing about choking.
That's funny. Payton was asked, by the way, about why he gave the Falcons and Devontae Freeman that choke symbol.
The video of you giving the choke sign.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Thank you.
I don't remember that, he said. Do you think he really doesn't remember it?
I bet he remembers that.
Doesn't have a lot to say about it.
I bet he remembers. It's, by the way, this is you're welcome. This is one of the ultimate defenses, by the way. This is what happens. It's the, I don't recall specifically, when you don't have necessarily the, you know, if you don't have like the sort of wherewithal to be able to defend it, you just simply say, I don't remember. And
yeah,
people stop asking.
That's actually not a bad play.
Seriously, that's what you do.
Because it's over at that point, and there's no other words to parse up.
Like, if you ever go in front of Congress, and you have to, like, if you lie, then it's perjury, then it's a pretty significant thing to lie to Congress. You just go, I don't recall that, Senator. I don't recall, Senator. And people, you can't do anything to you.
And Matt Ryan, I mentioned he threw three picks.
Yeah,
he was the guest with Steve Smith and Marshall Faulk, you know, the guys that were crushing Kirk Cousins after he played Bill Belichick in the loss. And they were singing his praises because he just won the game, though, in a poor performance. He was disappointed in himself last night.
I'm disappointed in a couple of the plays, but, you know, that's part of it. You know, sometimes it goes that way, and you've got to keep battling and keep your mindset right. And I was pleased with how I did that, and I was pleased with how, you know, our entire team did that.
The biggest story that came out of the game, though, was that many members of the Saints organization, coaches, players, otherwise, after all the injuries, came out against Thursday Night Football, one of which was Drew Brees. On all of the injuries that kind of stacked up last night and the fact that he thinks the short week and the Thursday night game had a lot to do with it.
It's 100% a product of playing on Thursday night. Do you understand what guys' bodies go through, you know, in a game? And then to have to turn around 4 days later and to play? I mean, look at the injury studies. They're off the charts. They're off the charts. So is this smart as it pertains to guys' health and safety? No, absolutely not.
Wow, he went hard. So did Sean Payton, by the way. He agrees with his quarterback.
Seriously, speak up. What do you guys think? What do you think? There were so many injuries tonight. Anyone? Huh? Anyway, credit Atlanta. They came back, showed some heart, got a big win. It was disappointing for us.
I guess he can't get fined now because someone else said it.
Someone else said it, I suppose,
but
right?
The mannerisms and the way he kind of, his body language and acted at the podium was, yep, you're right.
Yeah, that is correct. Mark Maskey wrote this, I think, a few weeks ago, and he cited the NFL's injury data. So the NFL does this because it's in their own interest to do this. They've got a study that says you're no more likely to get hurt on Thursday than you are on Sunday. And there's a way that they can, I don't want to say manipulate, because that improves outright lying and coercion and cover-ups and stuff, and they would never do something such a thing. But it's they have enough data that says you're not more likely to be injured on a Thursday and the game's missed, and it basically comes out in a wash, so stop bitching. And to me, this is, as I say this every time it comes up, this is one of the things that the owners know they have over the players. The players hate it. And whether or not it's something that's going to go away, whether or not it's something that needs to be adjusted, you should have a bye week before it and an 18-week schedule instead of 17. However it goes, this needs to be changed, and the players know it. They're going to have to give something really serious up to get it because the owners know they've got this. They've got two things over the players. It's Goodell and discipline and this.
So here's the issue, though, that I think a lot of people have. The Falcons, who won last night, were not busy talking about this. Now, I bet you if they were asked at the podium, hey, the Saints suffered a lot of injuries, how much of that is about Thursday night? That either Matt Ryan or Dan Quinn or somebody with the team may have said, yeah, Thursday night football's unfair. But generally what happens is when you win, that's not the storyline. Think about the Redskins and the Giants. Their season is saved. Cousins made a couple throws. Crowder had his career day. Samaje Perine broke out. Whatever the story is, you don't spend any time talking about the injuries or Thursday night football being an inconvenience. You do that after you lose, so it always kind of gets chalked up to sour grapes. Last night, one of the teams was talking about Thursday night football being a problem. And they may have a great point. I think that they do. But I also think it gets dismissed when both teams aren't doing it, when the winner doesn't spend any time doing it, because otherwise it just feels like the Saints are making an excuse. So here's the question that I think we should pose at 800-636-1067. When you hear Sean Payton and Drew Brees specifically, the leaders of that organization last night, talking about Thursday night football as to why all the injuries happened, and in some way why they lost. But that wasn't their point necessarily. You chalk it up to, of course they're saying that they just lost the game. It's sour grapes. Or is there a point that needs to actually be looked at here? Or are we now past the point of no return where it is clear more injuries happen, less guys are available, the product is worse, even though the games have been really good? And last night's, by the way, is another example of a great, entertaining, outstanding NFL game to watch in terms of just the quality of a few hours of your Thursday night sitting at home watching TV. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. Both Drew Brees and Sean Payton adamant that one of the reasons for all of the injuries for the New Orleans Saints last night was Thursday night football. I want you to hear what Drew Brees said. Danny and I just reacted to this. We're going to give you a chance to on the phones at 800-636-1067 right now. This was post-game after a loss last night.
It's 100% a product of playing on Thursday night. Do you understand what guys' bodies go through, you know, in a game, and then to have to turn around 4 days later and to play? I mean, look at the injury studies. They're off the charts. They're off the charts. So is this smart as it pertains to guys' health and safety? No, absolutely not.
Oftentimes it's the losing team that does the talking about this, and it's not because they're making an excuse as much as when you win, a lot gets swept under the rug, and you just talk about the reasons that you won. When you lose, you talk about the reasons you lost, and sometimes that's losing a guy like Alvin Kamara to injury among several other players coming off the field. Tom's in Haymarket. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I have to – I mean, I don't want to say – I don't want to commend Drew Brees for this, but he has a voice. He's one of the – at least the top 10 voices in the league right now, even though he's kind of on his way out, so to speak. But I completely agree. I think you might give it a couple more years to get a larger sample size. Somebody will come out with reports that show injuries on Thursday night versus injuries on Saturdays and Sundays. And I do think a lot of people, I mean, I don't have any direct firsthand experience with this, but I know people who do, who work close to pro and college players. These guys can't get out of bed Monday morning. They're like a 90-year-old on Monday morning getting out of bed. And many players will tell you that it takes a whole week to get your body back right to be able to take the hits that you take on Sunday.
Yeah, good call. Thank you.
The head-to-head collision, that can happen Monday, Sunday, Saturday night special, whatever.
How do you react to this tweet from Ross Tucker? He says, if this was on a Sunday, no way a guy could have been poked in the eye, hit in the back, or concussed. Those are big day of the week injuries. I mean, you have a lot of people that dismiss injuries kind of just based on some that could have happened any day of the week.
And that's what they're able to hide behind. And a concussion has, I don't know if it has anything to do with playing on short rest, because that was a head-to-head thing. We see head-to-head things on Sundays. The most gruesome game was on a Monday with extra days rest. We're talking Shazier and Vontaze Burfict and guys getting carted off, et cetera. That's the most brutal game of the season, and that came with extra rest. So that's what these guys will hide behind, that either like to be tough guys or critics of the players that will simply say, hey, this is really hard on us. And I think that takeaway should be impossible to refute. There's a in the same year, Goodfellas and My Blue Heaven came out. They're actually based on the exact same story. One is a comedy. One is one of the best movies ever made, frankly, with Ray Liotta and company, right? But the guy that plays the same character, Henry Hill, in this case, it's Vinny Vintanelli in My Blue Heaven, is on the stand. And he says, basically, when asked a question about the only reason you're sharing this information is because you're a rat, you're getting something out of it, right? And Vinny responds, yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. The point is, just because they lost and it's sour grapes, that doesn't mean they're wrong. I know it was a convoluted analogy. My point is,
the destination that we ended at.
They came in second. They got their butts beat. They choked away a chance to win. Doesn't mean they're wrong about playing on Thursday.
Here's another one we've talked about in the past. Like, if somebody gets a divorce, obviously, if you go to their ex-wife and you ask them for some character analysis and testimony, that is a colored analysis. But they might also give you more important information on the behind the scenes why this guy actually sucks than someone else would, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can have an axe to grind and still have points that need to be taken into account. Kyle's in Fairfax. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I actually really like that it was Drew Brees that said this. Not so much Sean Payton. He's kind of a head case. But Drew Brees is a true ambassador of the league. Imagine if Cam Newton made those comments. What would we all be saying? The guy's a loser because he behaves like a loser when he loses. If Kirk Cousins did it, we'd be talking about how he's not worth the contract. Drew Brees has nothing to prove, and that interception was clearly his fault. I don't think he was saying that that's the reason they lost. He was just trying to address a bigger issue. And he's probably the perfect guy to say that because his credibility is you know, beyond our questioning. So I really think that it's important that he brought it up. However, at the same time, the NFLPA, you know, the NFL players, they didn't vote to change a few years ago. So I almost don't really feel sorry for the players. And I know that sounds horrible, but.
Well, the only thing I'd say, Kyle, thanks for the call. And you're right about Brees because he basically took the loss on himself for the interception he threw in the red zone. Elsewhere in the audio, we didn't play.
Right.
Wasn't as relevant to our audience in D.C., but. Players don't have much say over this. I mean, what do you want them to do? Hold out? And then everyone says these millionaires are not showing up for work. They're jerks. They don't really have a shoe to stand in and a foot to stand on here until the next negotiation when they can make this a make or break, do or die issue.
And so you're given the choice, basically, as players. And this is, again, why the union needs to be more powerful and why the owners are successful. You got to get 1,700 people pulling in the same direction as opposed to 32. The 32 billionaires are better at this than 1,700 players with individual needs in different cities and different towns. The owners go, you're going to get more money because that Thursday night revenue is pretty good, isn't it? You like how the salary cap's gone up, don't you? You like that money that's coming in? You get some of that money. Now, we get a lot of money too, but you get money. Would you rather have money or health? And it's easy for Drew Brees, and I'm not criticizing because I agree with Drew Brees, but it's easy for Drew Brees at $25 million a year when cap money is invested in him and he's going to be fine no matter what happens, today, tomorrow, or otherwise. It's easy for him to say, yeah, I'd give up Thursday night for my health. Not as easy for special teams Steve, who's making the league minimum. Not as easy.
Jacob's in Chantilly on the fan. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Jacob.
I'm actually really agreeing with the last caller said. I'm really glad that Drew Brees is the person that said this. Like you said, he doesn't have anything to prove. But Thursday night football is horrendous, I think, completely. The poop fest, like Richard Sherman says. You know, the commissioner implies all these rules where you can't even make a hit anymore, but you want to, and you worry about the health of players, but you're going to give them a short week to prep for big games like this, you know. And, you know, sometimes it takes to the last minute on a Saturday or Sunday to make a call on a player, but now you have to make that call on a Wednesday, and you only had, you know, 2 days rest, really. And it's just not worth it. I think it's terrible.
Appreciate you, man. Let's go to Brian in Warrington on the fan. Brian, Drew Brees came out yesterday. So did Sean Payton against Thursday Night Football. They think it's why all of the Saints players, or many of them, got injured in last night's game.
So, boys, I don't know. I don't think it's sour grapes, but I understand what the, you know, what Drew Brees is trying to say. But the bottom line is these people are being paid millions of dollars to play a sport and entertain me. And I say get out on the field and entertain me.
Appreciate you, man.
I get it. Honestly, I do. I know that's we can rip that for like tough guy talk and his worldview, but it's easy. Well,
why
I don't
can't
know.
They get out on the field and entertain you on a Sunday when they're less likely to get hurt?
Well, because I still think they should be able to play Thursday. But to me, the easy fix is get rid of the fourth preseason game and add a bye week.
Why can't they do that?
I think they should
entertain them on Thursday.
I think they should do that. Prime time games are awesome. Yeah,
I mean, we can have our cake and eat it too here. You can have Thursday night games at a bye week. You want to add a bye week and extend the schedule an extra game or two? If that's how you got to meet in the middle, fine. But you cannot have teams going Sunday into Thursday, as injury-riddled as these clubs are coming down the stretch in Week 13 and 14. We've seen it with the Redskins going into games with four offensive linemen potentially out.
And as I said, yeah, some guys are getting paid millions, but some guys aren't.
Right.
Some guys make as much as a consultant that you're driving next to on your morning commute. And I know that's they're doing well. But to go Sunday to Thursday?
That's because that consultant makes a lot of money.
Yeah, where their life is altered and potentially shortened in some ways. I mean, that's a big deal.
Frank Tysons, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go the opposite. I don't have sympathy for what he said because what the other caller alluded to, they agreed to this.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have to agree to this. Obviously, we want no one to get hurt. I understand it's a rough game. They agreed to it. That's the bottom line. What they need to do is say to the NFL, hey, in the next agreement, no Thursday night football, or if you want it, we're going to expand the rosters. Look at professional soccer, and I'm by no means a soccer fan. They play every weekend, and then they're basically playing cup games during the week. No one complains.
Different sports,
you know,
though, right?
I mean, you know that. Sports can't be compared. Thank you for the call, Frank.
I see his point, though, about CBA.
Too. Hockey's a better comp or something like that.
Right.
But to compare soccer and football in terms of the physicality and the violence and the toll it takes on your body, Jerome Bettis has written that he couldn't walk up his steps until like the Wednesday after a game. He would just sleep on his couch in his living room because he couldn't go up and down stairs. I don't think that's the case after you play an EPL game on a Saturday.
So the point that they signed up for this, I mean, again, that's inescapable for some fans, and I understand that perspective,
by the way.
Let me
ask you this, though. Did they sign up for the constant Thursday nights? This was not a thing when the CBA was last negotiated.
I think it was. I think there were games every Thursday, right?
I think they had started. No, because when I was in college is when they did, like, the last 6 weeks of the season on NFL Network, they did Thursday night. The 17 straight weeks of Thursday night football has only been around for a few years. The CBA was 2011, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when the lockout was.
Right.
It was 2011, so that's when the whole last negotiation went down, I think,
and didn't
right?
the 17 weeks of Thursday night happen after that? They only did, like, the last 6 weeks of the season before that?
Now you're testing my
memory. I'll have to look that up. I'm not confident about that, but I feel like that might be the timeline.
Wouldn't it stand to reason, though, that the owners can't just impose different things on the players without something that's collectively bargained? That would have to be agreed to at some point, right?
I think Thursday night football was a thing, but right. I'm saying the extension of there's a game every single Thursday night, I'm not convinced.
And that everybody's got to do it?
Exactly.
I think that has to be collectively bargained. The same way playing in London or Mexico or wherever else, like, that's got to be written somewhere. It's got to be agreed to at some point by somebody. Now, whether the players went in with eyes wide open on it is a different story.
I'm looking up Thursday night football's Wikipedia if you want to carry this for
follow
a second.
Along, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was waiting for a response. I misunderstood that one.
Yeah.
This is the Greg and Dave show. Yeah. So to me, if you if these guys as sort
or
of...
Or neither of us could talk, and yeah, I'll just read for a
what
while.
What if I just mutter and stutter for an extra minute or two? You see the difference... I'm almost new Bill Cosby. You see the difference is to see... If guys are knew this going in and
okay,
made
this it.
Bargain and then they're sort of wrong, then I have less sympathy.
So you are right. And since 2012, the Thursday night package started in week two, which is after the 2011 lockout. So presumably it was one of the things that was bargained over.
So the players may not have known going
so
in.
I'm wrong about
well,
that.
Well, but like, so again, think of the toll situation on I-66 where we're told, right? Hey, it's going to max out at $7. And already day two, it maxed out at $40. Well, that's not what you told us. You told us something different. So I went in eyes wide open. I elected somebody
from
Virginia.
Yeah, I wonder if
every
player basically signed off and was like, yeah, I'm cool doing 17 Thursday night games.
Yeah, like I don't have to do it very often, whatever. But then you realize the ramifications because this hasn't always been. This isn't always a thing. It was a rare occasion. Thanksgiving holiday, that's when we did it. We did the occasional Saturday once the college football season ends. Most of the time, Sunday, it's 1-4. We added 8 o'clock, that's fine. And then Monday Night Football, we dealt with that. Nobody knew it was going to be like this.
Liz Clark of the Washington Post wrote up 5 items you want to monitor Redskins Chargers. We'll get to those next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Greg Polk, Dave Ruye, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks for listening as always. Redskins Chargers on Sunday. We're hoping to hear from Dan Patrick before 2 o'clock. We were told that he may try to make some time to call in today. We will see. Of course, he didn't like very much a story that was written about him by a outlet in D.C. that quoted me. And so he took out his anger on that outlet on me, and I got blamed for it. So I want to talk to him about that. We'll see if he calls in. What do we got from Liz Clark in the Washington Post?
Liz, who we like an awful lot, does a really good job. And this actually is Liz Clark writing this. This isn't someone else who wrote
about... We can attribute it to someone else.
No, this is fair. This is something that's fair enough to do. Liz Clark wrote something. We're talking about what Liz Clark wrote, not somebody's response to something that Liz Clark wrote where they quote something in a story. It's 5 things, GP, 5 things to look for here in this Washington Redskins San Diego, kidding, Los Angeles game that's this weekend. So...
Did you do it again?
No, that was mine.
Yeah, but you said kidding after. Maybe you said San Diego and then threw a kidding in there.
No, that one I actually meant to. It didn't turn out very funny in retrospect.
Yeah, we're not going to count that one because I knew right away that was him responding earlier to his San Diego Rams
yeah,
reference.
It was a dumb... It was one of those jokes that as soon as I put it out there...
Tommy, color me skeptical because jokes are... You know, that was not a funny joke if that was a joke.
No,
you know
I understand
what I mean?
That, and that's why I'm commenting here afterwards. Yeah. That was not a funny joke. Wish I hadn't done it.
We have to tell the whole story.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we've learned today.
Very important.
Listen, you can't hit if you don't take swings. Speaking of which, we recorded that bit before the show.
Oh, do we still have that?
Yeah. Dar, is that ready? Should we do that at some point today? I completely forgot about it with this whole Don Patrick kerfuffle.
It's been on the back burner all day.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we don't do it. Maybe we do. I actually think it turned out pretty funny.
Okay.
But again, I don't have much confidence in myself right now after the whole San Diego just kidding thing.
Dar, with the behind-the-scenes snafus that you've been dealing with, are you able to turn that around comfortably in the next hour, or should we plan on that early next week?
Yeah, let's count on it next week.
Okay.
And there it is. Yeah, that's on us.
It's not timely, is it?
It's timely. It's responding to some fairly recent news, but we can push it.
But I mean, are any of your jokes worse on Monday than they would be today?
I don't think so, right, Dar?
No, it would be great on Monday, actually.
Would this character's opinions change from today to Monday?
No, he's pretty static in how he feels about things.
Pretty sure that those opinions are confident and not wavering.
Yeah, they're unwavering.
Okay.
They're very, very set in stone.
And let's unveil that next week.
We'll table it. We're going to table it.
Give all people right. Something to look forward to. What's Liz Clark writing about? Let's react to her 5 things to keep an eye on.
This is the story of this game here this weekend. Fending off the pass rush, and then she goes into it, of course. You basically talk in Trent Williams, if healthy, Morgan Moses, etc. Beat up offensive line. Going against the bookends of Bosa and Ingram. This, to me, is the story when the Redskins have the football, is dealing with that pass rush.
Yeah, and by the way, Maurice Harris is going to be out. So a guy who made a great catch for a touchdown early in the year and has stepped up for Terrell Pryor, who's out for the year, is now also out. So the wide receiver position is going to be a lot of Robert Davis, who they're just activating from the practice squad. By the way, Joey Bosa's got 11.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles.
Ingram's got 8.5.
8.5 for Ingram, so they have combined for 19 sacks. Williams is on the practice field. So is Morgan Moses today. So the two of them and Ty Nsekhe, ideally, will be able to play on Sunday. But playing is one thing. Playing well is another.
Yes.
Because Moses got hurt, struggled a little bit. Nsekhe was terrible. Williams was his normal, reliable self this past week. They need those guys to do well against that pass rush.
Yeah, good offensive lines have struggled to stop them, too, because they're really good. Limiting turnovers. Again, this is the Chargers' story. They started off terrible in this category, and they lost four games as a result. They should have won a couple of those games, by the way, but here we are. Of late, as Liz writes, they have righted the ship. They are plus 11. They have 21 takeaways here in this hot stretch. Again, having started 0-4 and only 10 giveaways. So they are plus 11 in that category. Meanwhile, the Redskins minus 4 here. This is your Grant Paulson. Who's good without looking at records? You can usually tell by turnover margin.
Yeah, and right now they're just not giving you any chances with the football in short fields. Phil Rivers is protecting it. They don't lose fumbles. That's the big difference between the Chargers, where Rivers' int rate is a little higher than Cousins' is, and the Redskins, is that they do not fumble the football. The Redskins, as of the start of play this week, I believe, led the NFL in fumbles lost.
Ugh, yuck. Matching the Chargers' motivation. Again, the Chargers are in a weird spot. They're the redheaded stepchild there of Los Angeles. No one cares about them. Not that they had a great fan base in San Diego. It was a good fan base, but not unbelievable. But no one cares about them. They play in a soccer stadium that's half full. It's weird. Every game's an away game. One of their players even said that. But they got something on the line here. What do the Redskins have in terms of maybe proving something for themselves or trying to get themselves the next contract or putting something good on film, et cetera? It's a different type sphere. This is a weird, almost alien environment for them to walk into.
Yeah, it's a strange place to play. We've talked about that. The good thing is this is not Seattle. This is not Kansas City.
Right.
This is not New Orleans where you've gone. You've played in some of the toughest environments to win in football. This is not one of those. So you know, pretend like it's a neutral site game because it's going to feel like it as of kickoff.
Sometimes you got to provide your own motivation. Giving Kirk Cousins help, Liz points out, of course, each game this season has been kind of a referendum on quarterback Kirk Cousins, of course, because the Redskins left us in this position, et cetera, et cetera. But somebody in this group of pass catchers, be it Doxson or Grant or Reed or Pirine, somebody here has to step up and have a nice game.
Won't be Reed because he's out.
Well, so there's no Jordan Reed, obviously. So somebody's got to do something here to make it easy. Casey Hayward is a terrific cover corner. Somebody has to help. There's got to be more than just Kirk scrambling around throwing a fallaway jumper to Jamison Crowder.
So good news, bad news. Good news, I feel like this has Jamison Crowder written all over it. Bad news, the Chargers should know that. Why don't you just take him out of the game? He's the best player of the Redskins. If you don't let him beat you, who's going to? Doxson on the outside is going to be shut down, presumably, by Casey Hayward, who's having a great year.
Who's awesome.
So now you're able to D up and bracket Jamison Crowder. Is Davis going to beat you? I mean, he hasn't caught an NFL pass. Is Ryan Grant on the other side going to torment you for 9 catches and 120 yards? No chance. So who do you worry about in this passing game right now? Vernon Davis?
Yeah, I'm not terribly
quiet
worried
the last couple weeks.
Final point here is rattling Phillip Rivers. He's excellent, but he's not terribly mobile. So he gets rid of the football pretty quickly. If you can make him pat it a couple times, you can have some damage. He gets the football to Keenan Allen, gets it out in space to his running backs. Eckler's been really good. Melvin Gordon catches passes for them. Hunter Henry's a good option. They've always got a counter. They throw hot an awful lot. That is my little rhyme there to describe them. But can you hit Phillip Rivers enough times to force that bad throw? It's happened over the course of his career. Happened last year more than it's happening this year, but is somebody that is vulnerable if you get to him.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Will Montgomery will join us at 1 o'clock. Longtime offensive lineman in the NFL who spent time here in Washington with the Redskins. We'll talk to him about the dynamic of players' relationships with one another in the locker room and the matchup with the Chargers. Remember, he was in the AFC West with the Broncos for the end of his career. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.